Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, welcome to the show where we don't sing it, we bring it. Help us out and click subscribe to show your support. Guys, ladies, are you sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game? Stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create a wrestler, sign contracts, get into storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like my buddy John down in Texas, got to be having better weather than I'm having up here in the Northeast, then go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Sign up today. Don't forget loyalty rewards. A $15 a month contributor gets to co-host a live show with me. $7.50 a month contributors, you get entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode with myself. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. If you've got questions, comments, concerns, anything you'd like for us to talk about in a future episode, stop by the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160. Give us your questions, comments, whatever it is you want us to get to. We will try to address those in a future episode. Don't forget to head over to the homepage of the Fro Wrestling Podcast by going to frowrestling.com, where we have everything about our show and all our endorsements, our sponsors, and whatnot. Give yourself a second to take a look and check that out. We'd love to hear from you. If you are a YouTube user, make sure you click the bell. Enable notifications so you're notified every time we put up a new episode. So, I want to get started with the news today. We've got quite a few topics to talk about. I'm going to start. I will take the sadder conversations up at the end of the show. I'm going to get this one out of the way early. Back in the 80s, there was a guy who wrestled at WrestleMania, I believe WrestleMania 2, Corporal Kirshner. He was a former military gentleman. I believe he was in the U.S. paratroopers in the army and whatnot. And he ended up having a friendship with Hulk Hogan, who was like his path to getting into the wrestling business. He portrayed this like uber American character. And I think honestly to this day, I think the reason the WWE put together the character was because Sergeant Slaughter had left for the AWA and they needed a real patriotic character to fill that role. And Hulk Hogan would tour on one side of the country and Corporal Kirshner would be on the card wherever Hulk Hogan was not. That way we always had like a patriotic American character on every show to appeal to the mid 80s crowd. Well, at 64 years old today, the gentleman's name is Mike Penzel. He was the former Corporal Kirshner. He passed away at the age of 64. Our condolences go out to his family and friends. What a lot of people I think don't realize, because today I was talking to some of my friends in the wrestling, you know, in my wrestling fandom, and several people were like, why are people making a big deal about this guy? He never really did anything in WWE. He had one WrestleMania match at WrestleMania 2. He wrestled a flag match against Nikolai Volkov, which he won. And then he became like basically a glorified jobber the rest of his WWE career. But that was not the end of his wrestling experience. He ended up working for Stampede Wrestling, New Japan, UWF. He went to other places. But honestly, I feel like his biggest contribution came over in Japan as the character Leatherface, which was based on the horror movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre and whatnot. There was several characters that were portrayed overseas to kind of represent those characters. And I thought he did an excellent job of doing just that. And I think sometimes people think that WWE was the only thing around until recently, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Reality is that these, you know, more outlandish characters that WWE never held on to, they were able to go somewhere else and, you know, pick up a very serviceable income in the professional wrestling world long before our current expanse into the indie wrestling scene, the emergence of places like Impact and AEW and Ring of Honor, New Japan, there have always been other wrestling options. It's just in the United States, WWE and either the NWA or WCW, depending on the year, we're all people really focused on a little bit of AWA, a little bit of World Class here and there. But really, I think if you really think about it, there were really in the United States five companies that really seemed to attract the most attention. WWE at number one, the NWA / WCW at number two. The AWA had a lot of traction at one point. World Class Wrestling, and then for a short period of time, Mid-South Wrestling turned into the UWF, and that gained a little bit of steam and momentum in the, say, 1985, 86, 87 time period. But the reality of the situation is New Japan Pro Wrestling, All Japan Pro Wrestling, places like that, they were around back then as well. CMLL, AAA, these companies were around. They just didn't have the exposure that we have in 2021 with the internet and streaming services, the ability to pull up YouTube and watch videos from all over the world. That didn't exist, so it wasn't as popular. That does not mean the incredible talents like the gentleman who portrayed the character of Corporal Kirshner had as Leatherface over in Japan, doing all sorts of death matches and just these really crazy over-the-top wrestling matches. And if you get a chance, go ahead and look some of them up. You know, it's a sad news to hear of his passing, but I don't want people to think this is just some jobber from WWE. It's not like that. This guy actually had a career and a pretty substantial one overseas, and one that he deserves to be recognized for. So again, our condolences out to the family and friends of Corporal Kirshner, and I'm thankful that WWE took the time to say something. Going to move on to some of the more sort of shocking things to me going on in the wrestling world. Ring of Honor, as everybody knows, is going to shut down until right around WrestleMania season, really. But that does not mean that the Ring of Honor championships, the ones that are held by various individuals, are not going to be defended. It was announced today that Impact Wrestling will be bringing in the Ring of Honor World Champion, Jonathan Gresham, to defend the Ring of Honor World Championship against Chris Sabin at their Hard to Kill event taking place on January 8th. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't foresee anyone taking the championship from Jonathan Gresham until they reboot the company. And I think if anybody takes it at that point, it'll be based on Ring of Honor's choosing whoever is going to be like the flagship superstar of their brand. I really think Jonathan Gresham could be that guy, but I don't know if they really want to go that route. So we'll have to wait and see about that. But in the meantime, though I don't think Chris Sabin stands a chance at winning the Ring of Honor championship in this match, I do think the two of them could put on an incredible show. Speaking of the UWF that I mentioned earlier, I can't help but think how much the original UWF World Championship and the Ring of Honor World Championship, the belts look so similar, and that was always one of my favorite belts. So, you know, I felt like those two topics of conversation kind of lined up quite a bit. Going to talk something we have to get to, the reunion, so to speak, of the Undisputed Era in AEW. And I have heard people all day complaining about this. You know, oh, you're making fun of Tony Khan. You make fun of WWE all the time. Then what do? You bring in the Undisputed Era, put them back together, and it's like recycling WWE stuff. Here's the problem. First off, if anybody wants to try to convince me that Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly are not all incredible talents, I would love to have that debate. They're all insane. They're fantastic in the ring. They're great soldiers to have in any company. The fact that WWE let all three of them go and didn't put more of an emphasis on creative and making them have characters that they would want to stick around for is an indictment on WWE. It has nothing to do with the three of their talent. Now, in regards to the Undisputed Era reuniting, I clearly remember when Hulk Hogan, Hall, and Nash reunified in WWE after being gone and WCW was defeated and WWE won the Monday Night Wars, when they did the whole angle where Ric Flair and Vince McMahon were fighting over control of WWE and Vince McMahon was going to kill his own creation by injecting lethal poison, the NWO, people loved it. They loved it. And that was a rehash of WCW's plan. And people screamed to the hills about how wonderful this was for those three individuals to appear in WWE together. This is no different to me. I'm not trying to say that the Undisputed Era on the level of the NWO. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is this was an incredible faction in WWE who has now migrated one at a time over to AEW. Why wouldn't you put them back together? They've got a built-in fan base, people who never wanted to see the Undisputed Era split up in the first place, felt like it was rushed to be split up. Now you've got them back together, and who does not want to see Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks, which they've already teased? With having the way things went down on Dynamite, it is very clear that Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks will take place at some point in the future. Now, the only problem with that is it kind of muddies the opportunity for FTR to get back into that world championship mix. But who would not want to see a series of matches between Red Dragon and the Young Bucks? I think that is an incredible opportunity. The only problem I have is that, one, I felt like Bobby Fish has never gotten the respect he deserves as a singles wrestler, and he's never going to get a singles run if we keep pushing him into tag teams. Part two, Kyle O'Reilly clearly over the last year has proven he could be a single star, and now he's getting shoved back into a tag team. And Adam Cole is a single star, but he's not pushed to the top of the card because you got people like Jon Moxley, Kenny Omega, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. I keep saying Daniel Bryan every week. I apologize. That's just habit. All these guys, Adam Page, there's so many people at the top of the card that Adam Cole is almost like he's stuck in a upper mid card status as well. Who does not want to see Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole or Hangman Page versus Adam Cole? But then he's still got MJF up there. You got so many people at the top of the card in AEW. I hate what they're doing with the women's TBS championship, but I almost feel like we need another championship for the men because it is so top heavy. You know, and don't get me wrong, I love the TNT thing. I didn't like it at first. I'm okay with it now. I think they should call it the television championship. Then you wouldn't have to have a network name on the belt. But, you know, and by the way, just to clarify, my issue with the TBS women's championship thing is you just had the entire tournament on TNT, and then you're going to give a championship to somebody on a new network. The whole tournament should have been held off until you got to TBS. So the whole tournament was a TBS thing, and then crown your champion on TBS. It shouldn't be a TNT start and a TBS finish. That's just stupid to me. But back to the conversation about the Undisputed Era. How can fans, people who claim to be diehard fans, not want to see the Undisputed Era reformed in AEW? Obviously, they can't use the name. That's going to be copywritten by WWE, but I am fairly certain they will come up with some kind of name that plays on words that's going to annoy WWE enough. And I think it's a very good thing. Look, and here's the thing. There was all those reports that came out after Kyle O'Reilly left that, you know, WWE expected he would resign and they expected he was going to be coming back. Now, I think this is actually a good thing for Johnny Gargano, because I don't think WWE wants to lose another one that they thought was going to come back to AEW. So now is when, if I was WWE, I would go out and give a major big dollar contract offer to Gargano. But even if they don't, this is a built-in opportunity. And anybody who thinks this is a bad move or that Tony Khan's doing lazy booking or anything like that is absolutely ridiculous. I do love the fact that Kyle O'Reilly came out and actually put out some tweets, you know, talking about why he went to AEW, you know, thanking Tony Khan for the opportunity and things like that. But he really wants to be able to showcase his talents on a main stage. And let's be honest, people his size, Adam Cole's size, Bobby Fish's size, a lot of the guys in AEW, they don't get the main event breaks in WWE because Vince McMahon is all into the muscle-headed freaks. People like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles to a big degree, they don't usually get all the breaks. Now, in recent memory, those three have, but beyond those three, really not so much. Brock Lesnar running around with a championship for over a year, and Roman Reigns is a huge muscle jacked up guy. You know, those are the guys who carry the WWE championships. And what we need is we need an opportunity to see some of these smaller guys who can work in the ring and really put on a show. We need to see what they can do at the top of the card. And I feel like that's what AEW is trying to do, something WWE has been reluctant to do. And let's be honest, look, Kenny Omega did a fantastic job as world champion, and he's nowhere near a Roman Reigns size. I'd love to see the two of them wrestle at some point, by the way, just like I'd love to see Seth Rollins in the ring with Kenny Omega at some point. But, you know, that those aside, I think somebody like Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, they are much better suited to AEW's approach to wrestlers, and I think that's part of why they're going to be so successful there. Somebody who may not be Anthony Ogogo, AEW superstar, getting into a Twitter war with Jonathan Gresham and Jordan Grace. Gresham and Grace are married. He was giving some attitude to Jonathan Gresham about his Ring of Honor championship win, comparing it to Hornswoggle being the last ever Cruiserweight champion. And there's really no reason for this. You know, some people thought maybe there'd be an opportunity for Gresham to come to AEW, and he was trying to set something up ahead of time. And some people like that, but he should have done the right thing, reached out to him and said, hey, listen, man, this is what I'm going to do. Let's ham it up online. Let's really see if we can get the people cranked up about this, because apparently there's some backstage heat over this, and Gresham is not going to get over it anytime soon, probably because not only did he trash Gresham, but he went back and forth with Jordan Grace. You don't go for a man's wife. Like, what are you doing? Like, so, and apparently he, like, flirted with the wife and tried to get her number, all that stuff, not realizing she was married to the guy he's trash talking. So, you know, not good for Ogogo. You don't want to get heat. Certainly not somebody with his experience level in the business, somebody who really should be focusing on his in-ring prowess and representation rather than challenging people who aren't even under contract to his company yet. Speaking of somebody who is under contract, Alex Hammerstone, the MLW World Heavyweight Champion, just locked into a new multi-year contract extension. This is a big get for MLW because, let's be honest, he has really been tearing it up. He's a fantastic in-ring talent. And if you're MLW and you're going up against Ring of Honor and you're, you know, with their absence, AEW, Impact Wrestling, WWE, New Japan, who now has New Japan Strong here in the United States, like all these companies, MLW at some point needs to make sure they have people under contract that really are the face of their organization. This will keep him tied up for quite a long time. And that's huge for them. Now they can focus on building his brand. Now, the only drawback to that is if they keep building him the way they are. I mean, he's incredible. Next time his contract comes up, it only makes it even harder to keep him. I'm concerned with Jacob Fatu whenever his contract comes up. But you got to know that he's going to at least consider AEW and WWE when his contract comes up. He's an incredible talent. So this is kind of what the indies do. And I hate to refer to MLW as an indie, but they really are. They're a smaller company. They do have contracts. They're a smaller company. They are the breeding ground for the future wrestlers of the future. Even if WWE insists the Performance Center is where they're going to get all their talent, you can't not notice somebody like Alex Hammerstone. He's incredible. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Freddie Prinze Jr. got to get to this because it's driving me nuts all week. He's been doing these interviews and he was doing something with on his podcast, Wrestling with Freddie. He talked about when he was a writer for WWE. Now, I get it. Some people didn't realize that he's an actor. You know, he's married to Sarah Michelle Gellar or whatever. But for a little while there, he worked with WWE and he was talking about how he really tried to get Harry Smith and TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, over as a tag team. And same thing with the Usos. And he talked about a conversation he had with Vince McMahon and how he was trying to build the tag team division. And Vince, the quote that he gave was, Freddie, I got to pay four guys for one effing match. And it kind of was like a shock to him and looked at it like, okay, well, you know, that's the way he approaches things. He was working with the Colognes back then, you know, Primo and Epico and all this. And he was doing so much to build that talent. And Vince pretty much broke it down and wouldn't support the tag team division. Here's the lunacy of the whole thing. If you watch Raw pretty much every week, your top four to six guys always seem to end up in tag team or six-man matches. How about instead of doing that where you kind of muddy the water for your main events and future months programming, stop putting people like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens in the same match with Big E and Bobby Lashley, and instead develop a great tag team division so your tag teams are a main event attraction and you don't have to worry about paying four guys because you'd be happy to because they're a draw. The Road Warriors drew on their own. They didn't need Ric Flair on the card to draw. The Road Warriors, to this day, people talk about the Road Warrior pop when they would come through the curtain, how popular they were. And they're not the only ones. The Steiner brothers were a huge draw. Sting and Luger were a huge draw. Now, granted, they were single stars beforehand, but you get what I'm saying. Tag team wrestling, Harlem Heat was a draw. The Outsiders were a draw. People can draw money as tag team wrestlers when they're treated appropriately by the booker or the organization. Vince McMahon, for decades now, has not done that, and that's a problem because it really does – hurt the overall product when you don't value the tag team wrestling and all you do is push your single stars and you keep putting them against the same people year in and year out. Let's be honest. We've seen Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. That's why this feud didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They only wrestled a year and a half ago at WrestleMania, for God's sake. Okay, Big E starting to go against these guys. Well, I hope so. He's the champion. Bobby Lashley, whatever. We've seen Lashley and some of these guys before. So, you know, you really do muddy the top of the card. And, you know, what do you, and we also have Edge on Raw. So what are you going to do? You got him toying around with The Miz for now. At some point, he's going to find his way back into the world title picture. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can only have so many matches if you only push the same 4 to 6 guys. Whereas if you have a tag team division, say 5, 6, 7, 8 tag teams that at any point in time could rise up and become tag team champions to be a legitimate draw, and you let them go out there and really perform, you could take pressure off of the guys who are at the top of the card so they don't have to worry about, you know, being in multiple segments and they start out with a singles match and two people interfere and now it's a tag team match. Like, you don't have to do all that because that's like the same booking we see all the time. Every Raw is going to have one of those where some guy is going to fight some other guy. There's going to be some argument. It's going to turn into a tag team match for later in the show or sometimes right away. It's old. You were talking about lazy booking. We were talking earlier about the lazy booking. That to me is lazy booking. It's a script that we've seen 100 times over. WWE needs great tag teams. And unfortunately, they have dropped the ball mightily in doing that. In addition, let's talk about that for a minute. AJ Styles and Omos. You broke up one of the best tag teams you have right now. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not thrilled about the tag team. I never wanted AJ Styles in this tag team to begin with. The only reason I feel like they put him in there at first was so he could be a Grand Slam winner, and winning the tag titles is the only thing left to do. I'm okay with that, but this should have ended a long time ago with Styles turning on Omos, not the other way around, unless you're trying to make AJ a babyface again, and what would be the purpose to that? Who is he going to be there to face? The only person on the Raw roster right now that I think people really want to see AJ face would be Edge, who's another babyface. You don't want to flip Edge to being a heel, clearly, with his feud with The Miz. So who's left for AJ Styles to go against? Are you going to have him go against The Miz because he stirred trouble? No, you're going to have him go down to NXT and help, you know, get the rub for a kid in NXT. I'm okay with the NXT feud. But on the main roster, AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers in the world. He should have been a main event star his entire WWE career, playing second fiddle in a tag team where he's become like the fall guy. I have a problem with. Now, I get it. Vince, again, we go back to Vince. He loves these big, huge guys. And Omos, let's be honest, is the biggest guy on the roster. But he's still green as a gourd. The guy still doesn't have what it would take to be the main event attraction. He's Andre the Giant, he got it. He knew how to work. He could do multiple angles. He could do things on the mat, grappling, tying people into the ropes, big moves, squash moves, power moves, everything. Heck, if you go back into the day when Andre was young like Omos is, he would do flying body splashes, all kinds of stuff that we don't see Omos doing. So I feel like Vince looks at Omos kind of like an Andre the Giant kind of wrestler, and I don't see that yet. Maybe at some point, I hope so, because I would love to see him do very well. But it's not there yet. Breaking up the tag team, I'm okay with. But the way they're making AJ Styles look like a punk and get jobbed out, I'm not okay with. I think that's a horrible way to book the situation. And hopefully they find something better. And in the meantime, they've just lost one of their best tag teams and one of their biggest attractions on the show. Because fans, no matter whether he's at the top, middle, or bottom of the card, they love seeing AJ Styles. Not just because he had this giant guy next to him. Speaking of giant men, Braun Strowman in the news saying he was the first and biggest star from the Performance Center, which got him a lot of heat with some fans online. People were replying and, you know, listing a litany of other guys who've come through, Seth Rollins and, you know, all these different guys, Roman Reigns, Jon Moxley. I get it. I don't think they get what he's saying. Most of the stars that people would talk about going through NXT were major stars somewhere else first. For example, Seth Rollins, Ring of Honor. Kevin Owens was Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor. Bryan Danielson was in Ring of Honor. CM Punk was in Ring of Honor. All these guys were in Ring of Honor. The first guy, who was an absolute nobody, no wrestling experience to make it to being a main event star at WrestleMania kind of level is Braun Strowman. I actually agree with him. You know, Roman Reigns, he's the Samoan Dynasty family, so you can't count him. Some people have argued, oh, he didn't have a big wrestling background. His whole family is a wrestling background, so I don't count Roman Reigns. Moxley, all over the world beforehand. You know, everybody you can name, all the Undisputed Era guys, Drew McIntyre, all of them, Andrade, they've all been all over the world. What he's talking about is the first and biggest star to be completely cultivated at the Performance Center. And there really is, hasn't been anybody like him. And that's because he was really the first person to benefit from WWE looking at athletic guys and other endeavors and bringing them into the business. And I think that's what he was going for in his tweet. And so many people gave a backlash because of the comparisons to all these other NXT talents that I don't think he was actually referencing. So a little frustrating to see him get so much heat over something I think was actually quite accurate. Speaking of NXT stars, Ring of Honor tie-ins, Kevin Owens, I just mentioned he was Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor, and he was talking about Ring of Honor Final Battle. He was paying attention to the show. He had a long history with Ring of Honor, but people made note of the fact that no WWE wrestlers appeared in the video package at Ring of Honor Final Battle. Kevin Owens made it clear it wasn't that they didn't want to do it. It's that nobody reached out to WWE. He actually thinks they would have been able to. They've done other things for other promotions before. Impact Wrestling had commentary from different people for different purposes in the past. He thinks they would have been open to that, you know, because the business is going out of business, or whatever you want to call Ring of Honor's hiatus. So I think he feels they would have been allowed to do it, but they just simply didn't ask. And people were all in an uproar over the fact that Ring of Honor didn't, you know, or that WWE didn't allow their people to do this. Not the case. They weren't asked. You got to at least make the overture before you complain about it. And it sounds like that was not the case. So WWE, hands are clean on this one. Got to talk about this. Speaking of families in the business, and especially the Samoan family, Umaga. Rikishi's in the news this week talking about how Umaga, former WWE superstar, should be in the WWE Hall of Fame and is long overdue. I don't mean any disrespect to Rikishi. I think Rikishi's a fantastic wrestler. For those who don't know a lot about Rikishi prior to becoming Rikishi, Samoan SWAT team, an incredible tag team that terrorized multiple areas and territories, ended up in WWE, became the Head Shrinkers, tag team champions, things like that. Then Rikishi went through all these different character changes, the Sultan and different, just these different things they tried out to try to find a character to work for him. When he became Rikishi's, when his career really took off, main event program with Stone Cold Steve Austin, angles with Too Cool, the tag team, Intercontinental Champion, things like that. So I was okay with Rikishi going to the Hall of Fame. Umaga, I am not in any way trying to be disrespectful, and I don't speak ill of the dead, but let's talk about his career. As a tag team wrestler, he was Jamal and Rosie. They were tag team in WWE. 3 minute warning. Eric Bischoff brought them out when he became the head of Raw. And that was interesting for a little while. Didn't stay for a very long time. They didn't really do anything championship wise as a tag team. I think one of their biggest angles was when they were trying to do the whole thing with Chuck and Billy getting married as two men. And then, you know, Eric Bischoff was dressed up like the minister, and 3 minute warning just absolutely destroyed them. I thought that was a great angle, but again, it's not a Hall of Fame worthy. Then he leaves, they split up the tag team, and he goes off and becomes Umaga. Now Umaga was incredible. He had a undefeated streak for a year or so. He finally lost to John Cena, won the Intercontinental Championship. He lost it to Santino Marella when he debuted with the company. And he was in a big thing where he was Mr. McMahon's representative against Donald Trump and Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, where Vince McMahon got his head shaved. Now, here's the thing. I get it. He had a WrestleMania match. Donald Trump and Vince McMahon were involved. What qualifies someone for the Hall of Fame? An Intercontinental Championship run as your only real substantial championship opportunity really, to me, isn't enough. If we're doing that, we need to just go down the list of all the Intercontinental Champions that ever held the belt and put them all in. Are we really going to put in Val Venus? Are we going to put in some of those guys that probably never should have had the belt to begin with? Are we going to put in people who only have a tag team but never won a tag team championship? I mean, there's a lot of those that we could be putting in there. And if we talk about multiple championships, I mean, Hardcore Holly held several championships. We're not like beating the door down for him to get in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that Rikishi can never, or I'm sorry, that Umaga should never be in the Hall of Fame. I just am having a tough time with people trying to justify certain people going in. Anybody who listens to this show over a long period of time knows I have issues with several people who are already in the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know what Hillbilly Jim ever did to deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what Coco Beware did to be in the Hall of Fame. He actually sent me, somebody got me a cameo from him thanking me for my support to get into the Hall of Fame. Thank you, Mike from Lansdale, one of my former Patreons, for sending that. Because it was so funny. He always thought it was so goofy that I had such an issue with him being in the Hall of Fame. I do. I think there should be some kind of criteria to get in. And what's complicated about it in the wrestling world is that the wrestling business is predetermined. Vince promotes who he wants, but that doesn't tell you who the good guys to work with are behind the scenes. Well, we're not supposed to know. So as a public, a fan base, we got to go by what we can see. And what we can see is who won what, who was influential in what way. Umaga, there's kids nowadays who would never know his name. I promise you there are children all over the country who are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 who still hear the name Hulk Hogan and know who he is. Ric Flair and know who they is. Bret the Hitman Hart and know who he is. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, The Undertaker. They know who those guys are. That's why they're Hall of Famers or Hall of Fame level talents. You know, Umaga, I don't know. I'm a school teacher during the day. I don't think any of my students know who Umaga is. And it's not a knock on Umaga. I actually think he was so underrated as a performer. I hated that he left WWE when he did. There were some issues there with some substance issues. It's really a shame because I think he could have done so well if pushed properly. He's kind of like, you know, the Ryback situation. You know, it could have been so much bigger if it was just handled a little differently. But in the end, Rikishi thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame. For me, not so much, at least not now. There's a whole lot of people who deserve to be in there a lot sooner than Umaga, and with no disrespect to Umaga. Speaking of a Hall of Famer, Stone Cold Steve Austin, there's conversation about him being at WrestleMania 38. They really want him to be a part of 38, more than just a simple appearance. They want him to do something more substantial, apparently. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But there's no word yet if he's interested in appearing or what creative might come up with, but from what they're reporting, it should be a substantial role. That's according to WrestleVotes. So hopefully we get to see the Rattlesnake do something of substance. I don't suspect a match. They'd have to pay a whole lot of money to get him to do a match, and I just don't see that happening. Though if I was Vince McMahon, think about the pay-per-view buys if you did. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Brock Lesnar or something like that. I'd pay both talents as much money as it took to make that match happen just to say you did. But Vince never does that. You know, he's all worried about the bottom line and saving cost cutting for his stockholders and everything else. So why would he do what we actually want him to do? Last topic of the night, I got to talk about this because people have been asking me about it and I haven't really said anything on the show. Tony Khan talking about WWE's reported interest in MJF and the whole conversation about MJF going to WWE at some point. He's a free agent 2024. Here's the deal. AEW has to push MJF as their number one star. They just do. I expect him to win the world championship at some point in time this year. I really, really do. If we're really lucky, what we may see happen is Daniel Bryan take the world championship. Daniel Bryan eventually lose the world championship to CM Punk, and Punk lose it to MJF. I think Punk will beat MJF in their first encounter. I think MJF should take the world championship from him in their next encounter. Let's be honest, CM Punk can't go undefeated forever in his AEW career. So MJF should absolutely be pushed to the moon, which is only going to drive up the asking price when he is a free agent. But WWE is going to have to step up and make a substantial offer, and I think they will. And I think that's something that Tony Khan is now realizing is a reality of his talents. They are doing a fantastic job, and they're getting attention by WWE. So it's time for Tony to start planning ahead and say, listen, you know, I might have to pay this guy a good chunk of change. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I think it could only be good for business no matter who signs him on his next contract. But we've got a little time before we have to worry about that. We're getting ready for 2022, getting ready for our fifth anniversary show. That'll be coming out in a couple weeks. But for now, MJF is all elite for at least till 2024. So not a lot to, of news going to be on that front for quite some time, unless he asked for an early release, which if I was Tony Khan, there is no way in heck I would let him out of, no matter what his complaint was. But we'll have to see how that plays out over the next couple of years. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks goes out, as always, to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing any music or sound effects we use in our show. Today's show is sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy just in time for the holidays. If you're looking for your next career move and you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Frodick, better known as Dr. Fro. I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments with us today. And until next time, take care, everybody. Have an incredible holiday season. No matter what you celebrate, happy holidays from the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Take care. Have a great night.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.